Blog Talk Radio. Having mercy upon us, having so much love for us, that he chose to suffer and die in our place, Father, to redeem us and give us a path to make it into your kingdom, to have a relationship with you, to get to know you, to get to love you, spend time with you, Father, at your appointed times, in your seasons, Father. This day, Father, I ask that you look after all the brothers and sisters who are suffering, whether spiritually, emotionally, mentally, or physically, whether they're feeling down, Father, on this Shabbat day, Father. Uplift their spirits, Father. Give them the spirit of hope, Father. Give them the spirit of joy and gladness, Father, that is associated with this life with you, Father. We know, as our old Rabbi Gershom Benani used to say, you never promised us a rose garden, Father. And as another brother said, even if you did give us a rose garden, there are going to be thorns in there that we're going to have to navigate through, Father. We just ask, Father, that you restore that spirit within everyone, Father, as we enter into this new holy season, Father, as we are in the midst of a new year, Father, that you renew your spirit within everyone, Father, that loves you, that believes in your Son, Father, that wants to walk in your path, Father, that wants to follow your Torah, Father, as well as uplift the name of your Son, Rabbi Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach, Father. Let us keep that constantly in the forefront of our mind and our remembrance, Father, the wonderful work that he has done, whether it was as Yahweh Elohim in past times or as Yahushua HaMashiach in this present time, Father. Help us to remember our former life and what it was like without you, Father, and what our life is like now with you, Father. And again, despite the suffering sometimes, despite the trials and tribulations, Father, we know that you chasten those that you love, Father. So the more we are chastened, Father, let's try to understand, or give us the heart of understanding, that chastening means that you're trying to get us right, Father, because you find us to be special in some way that we can't recognize or we don't understand, Father. But we know you do those things, Father, to keep us in a state of humility, Father, so that our eyes are always looking towards you, that our voice is always crying out to you, Father, that our hands are always reaching up to you, Father, for you to lift us up and bear us up upon your shoulders, Father, as any good father does to their child when they are weary and weak, Father. So now on this Shabbat day, Father, again, I welcome your presence into this building where we are, into our physical beings, Father, into our spiritual beings, Father, that your spirit be present, lively, Father, and fill us with the light of your word. And again, I ask you to look after our zakeins, their wives, our Ema, all the children, the brothers and sisters, the husband and wives, Father, look after them, Father, and bring them comfort and peace on this Shabbat day, and unity on this Shabbat day. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach, Amen. Kol Shiva. Right? Kol Shiva? Yeah, Kol Shiva. Right? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I got the blessing first here. All right. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yishmael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shabbat, family. Shabbat Shalom, Mishpachah. Once again, it's your brother Ahav Al with the Beth Yahweh congregation in this wonderful city of Baltimore, in the beautiful state of Maryland, and this great country, United States of America. And today's lesson's topic is Remember Your Savior. You know, in reflecting, you know, on this time and in the midst of this holy season and the importance, Todaki, and the importance of this first of the holy festivals that we are to commemorate and to be in union with Yahweh. You know, think about our lives, and I know we talked about this a few weeks ago. Think about your life before Yahushua. And even though you may not have had, you know, many problems in your life, you lived a life, we lived a life, apart from his word and apart from his will. And then one day, somehow, some way, he found a way to enter into your heart. He found a way to have this relationship with you. Some of us may have been looking. Some of us may have just been minding our business. Like the prophet said, I wasn't a prophet, nor the son of the prophet. I ain't going to school. I ain't got nothing to do with prophecy. I'm a man out here in the fields, sowing my wheat. But then Abba intervened in his life and made him a vessel for his usage. You know, and think about the fact that at some point, again, you may not have had a rough life prior to Yahushua intervening, but at some point he decided to call you and say, I need you to be a vessel for me. I need you to be a tool for me. I need you to do some work for me. You know, and I was talking to, you know, one of my brothers at work, and I don't think sometimes the gravity of our calling is always in the forefront of our mind, and that we are the in-between for humanity and salvation at times. Right. You know, that we are called out to be able to help people find this path Abba is calling some of them to. You know, and he has called us out for a purpose. You know, he wants us, and I say this very loosely, and needs us to do things for him. You know, like he said, you know, hey, look, y'all want to do it? I'll raise up these stones. I can do that. But I'm presenting you with an opportunity, a golden ticket, a lottery ticket, beyond anything, you know, and talking to people at work, and sometimes, oh, boy, if I hit the lotto, I get that money, boy, I do this, I do that. But especially if you're a believer, you already got the golden ticket. You already hit the lotto. He said, don't put your treasures in earthly things that will rust. And I remember when I first got my car, how nice and shiny and new it was, that good smell it had. You know, it had that glow to it, that sheen. Every time I wash it, the water beads and just looks so pretty. Now, it ain't got that nice new car smell to it no more. It don't have it's rickety now, you know. Before I hit the bumps, now I hit the bumps, you know. It's starting to deteriorate. It's got 100,000 plus miles on it now, right? Your house, your clothes, you know, your shoes, what if sometimes even your spirit gets worn out? What happens on a daily basis, especially for a believer, your spirit is renewed, even though your body may age. You know what always gains more strength? Your spirit. As we talked about, I believe Dr. L mentioned this not too long, about continuing in his path. If you continue in this way, the one thing that will never happen to you, even though your flesh may age, your spirit will always be renewed. Your spirit will always be strengthened the more you walk with him. That's the one thing that won't deteriorate over time. So that is the one place where we should put the majority of our investment in. Keeping ourselves spiritually strong, emotionally strong, more so than the physical. You know, go through those spiritual exercises, eating this word, getting this nourishment in, making sure that we are prepared and worthy. And we're looking at the world today. We see everything that's going on. Of course, the word says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. But he always said the end is not yet. But we know the end of this age, the end of this world system is coming. As we start to see it deteriorate slowly, slowly swirling around the toilet bowl drain, we know for us there should be hope. Because our hope isn't in that this world turns itself around and, you know, everybody in humanity comes towards us, kumbaya, let's all get together, let's all hold hands. Nah, gonna have a good time. Do-do-do, do-do-do, do-do. No, that ain't what our hope is. Not for this world. Our hope is that we get to do You want to have a good time? And I had Yara L on this side. I got Yaka L on this side. I got Samaria all in the circle. I got Aliyara. I got Malka. I got Ahaba. I got Dewa. And we got Daniel. We got Hoshea. We got Yahushua. We got Moshe. We got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Issachar, Naphtali. And we're all in that line with all the other saints. Saying now, gonna have a good time, because now we done made it into the kingdom, and we can all have that spiritual collective sigh of relief, you know. But the doorway to that first starts with, of course, keeping the Shabbat, but also being in line with his holy season. And I love, you know, I know my brothers always go through great trepidation, you know, and keeping the keeping their vigilance and observance of the moon cycle, you know, to get to this to this season. You know, and we you know, I'm very grateful, you know, to those brothers, because these appointments are important, and I was so glad to see someone else out there that are Messianic believers that are right on time with us, and even put out a lesson with the same calculation method that we use. That makes my heart glad. And this ain't the first time. This is, you know, the other time when we were quote unquote seemingly off with everybody else. That was the only other group that said, wait a minute, we got to bring in some other sources, because everybody thinks that just the 66 books is all you use, and that's all you got. If it ain't the 66 books that's written in that, but it's in that quote unquote canon, or you can't. But as Abba expands, infuses us with more of his knowledge, and fuses us with more of his understanding, you know. And the funny thing is that what I love about how Abba leads us is oftentimes we go on what Abba is leading us with before we actually get certain confirmation in the Word. Because we were actually being led this way by Yahweh before we encountered the book of Enoch, before we got to reading the book of Enoch. Abba placed it in Rabbi and the other timekeepers, Spirit, Yahweh and Sheba El, to say, hey, wait a minute now. You know, there's certain events. He said he gave the sun, the moon, and the stars, the signs for seasons, for days, and for years. And when he gave those things, he let us know, that's my timekeeping piece. I don't care what a man says. Unless it's one of my men, one of my chosen men, I don't care what another man says. I want y'all to care about what my word says, and have faith in my word, and have faith in my voice, and listen to my spirit, and walk in the path that I set you on. And when he says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. But as we read, I think in the book of Ezra, that narrow path, we're on one side. He said, the man that's going on this path, you basically got to hug the wall and creep across this path, because on one side, there's a gulf of unquenching water. And on the other side, there's a rough and ravenous sea that you ain't going to escape from. But as long as you do one, two, you stay on this very narrow path that I'm on, you're going to be all right. But the moment you lose balance, the moment you start to teeter, the moment you start to waver, there's sure destruction on either side. So one of the things that he wants us to do is to stay in that path. Listen to his voice. Follow his path. Stay in his light. Stay in his will. All right, talk. Again, he says, remember your Savior. And let me get my keynote scripture, Mitch Picard, and it's Isaiah 43:1, which reads, but now Yahweh, who created you, Yaakov, and he who formed you, Israel, says, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. No? Shabbat shalom. So So let's start reading a few things, family. And again, it's not going to be a long lesson today. We're going to do some fellowship and doing some talking, because that fellowship and talking be tasting so right. Right. So, Sean, what did you just do? Scripture I'm going to read. I'm going to open up with Corinthians 11, starting at 23. We'll read 23 through, yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 11, starting at 23. He says, "For I received from the Master that which also I delivered unto you, that Yahushua HaMashiach, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink.'" And specifically, for those who may not understand, he's talking about the Feast of Passover. "Do this as often as you drink in memory of me," not every first Sunday, but at the appointed time of the year. 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread," and he's talking about the matzah, the unleavened bread, "and drink this cup," he's talking about the cup that we drink on the Passover day, which is, as he said, a cup, resemblance of his blood, "you proclaim the Master's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the Master's cup in a way unworthy of the Master, of the body and the blood of the Master. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy way eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he doesn't discern the Master's body," that matzah, that unleavened bread. "For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and a few sleep. For if we discern ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. But when we are judged, we are punished by the Master, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore," and let's stop there for a second, "but when we are judged, we are punished by the Master that we may not be condemned with the world." So what is he saying here? He's letting us know that, yes, sometimes he may punish us to get us prepared for that Passover, to get us prepared for his holiness, to bring us right so that we don't perish with the world. So sometimes when we're getting chastised, sometimes when we're getting beat down, sometimes when we're going through trials and tribulations, it's because he does not want you to get lost with the rest of the world. He wants you to be in a right relationship with him at all times, every time, right? But he says, "but when you are judged," and hopefully we'll see this by way of some other scripture, "but when we are judged, we are punished by the Master that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home." So one of the things about this holy feast, which is so important, it ain't just about busting your gut. It's not about getting together and gobble, gobble like Thanksgiving or whatever, like people want to do, just be glad. This feast isn't about eating. Yes, even though we do have to sit down and eat, it ain't about eating. He don't want you to come to this feast hungry. He don't want you to starve yourself all day, and then when the feast is coming, no, as you take every piece of the Pesach, and that lamb is the Pesach, not just the festival. The lamb is the Pesach. As you chew on it, as you digest it, as you let it swirl around in your mouth and you grind it down in between your teeth, it ain't supposed to be just about eating in that sense. It's about understanding why that lamb is supposed to point to. Sure, there's other feasts where he wants us to get together. He said it's a holy convocation, get together and party within the spirit. But this ain't about that. But see, one of the things that he had to remind the people in Corinth about this feast is that this ain't a party. And when we go through the events, which we're going to go through today, and we see all that led up to this, and Yahushua being that Pesach, that sacrificial lamb, that Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, it was a grave time for everybody that was associated with him. They wasn't having fun. None of them was. He sure was not having fun. Those 24 hours that, or how many hours it was, that led up to him ultimately giving up his life to the Father. It wasn't fun for him. He was sad. He was heartbroken. He was in turmoil that time. From the time he finished eating the Passover with his disciples, and they came and arrested him, he didn't have a good time after that. He was beaten, tortured, mutilated, our sake. He went through pain. He went through suffering. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Start reading in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. We'll read through that whole chapter. He says, what did I do here? Isaiah 43. All right, starting in verse 1. But now Yahweh who created you, Yaakov, and he who formed you, Yisrael, says, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are my. Just let that marinate for a second. He said, I called you by your name. You are mine. Possession. I mean, think about Yahweh, what he is saying to us right here. 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And he's bringing us back to that first Pesach after we were liberated, right? When we got our freedom, he's letting you know. He's reminding us when you pass through the waters, what waters? And even when you think about that, right, and what we learned, don't forget now, I know it's been over a decade at this point, Mitzrayim, double straits. When those waters were up on both sides, that's the part of the double straits that we're, you think about it, at any point Yahweh said, you know what, he took the wall down, the water would have overflowed us, right? Don't we sing that? The waters would have overtaken us and we would have perished the same way they did. But Yahweh created a path. Think about it for a second. What was done to save Yisrael? He went against nature. He changed the forces of nature for our sake. Do you ever think about that? For our foreparents. He changed the forces of nature. It is. If you touch water, sure, it may disperse for that moment, but the moment you take your hand off of that water, it's going to fill right back up, right? Because that's the nature of water. That's how he created two parts hydrogen, H2O, whatever it is. What's that? H2O, right? Right? Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. He made it so that it engulfs, and it. I know everybody saw what happened over in Dubai. See, that's what y'all get for messing with Yahweh nature. Y'all want to do this seed and stuff? Okay. Yahweh said, I'm a double dang. You want me? First of all, I made it a desert for a reason. I made it a desert for a reason. Why? First of all, don't live in the desert. There's plenty of other places you can live besides the desert. If you want water, I believe part of the countries you have diplomatic is right by the sea. Stop trying to undo what I've done. Stop breaking what I done fixed. So now he said, okay, y'all want water? These dudes is jet skiing in the streets. They jet skiing in the streets. But y'all messing with his nature. Y'all trying to outthink him, and you can't. You're trying to outsmart him, and you can't. You're trying to outscience him, and you can't. He's going to turn it on your head time and time again. But anyway, 42:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not scorch you. Didn't we see an example of that in scriptures? Huh? Hananiah, Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and again, Hananiah, Mishael, and I believe what? Azariah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into that furnace, right? And Nebuchadnezzar thought, hey, I got you now. I'm going to barbecue you behind you, Israelite. Y'all don't want to obey me. Y'all don't want to do what I say to do. I got you. I'm going to burn you up. We're going to have a good old barbecue today. Fire was so intense as the men that the prison guards, the COs that was walking them up, said they got burned. And what did Yahweh do? He said, no, I'm going to send somebody down there. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to visit this one myself. He said, look like, well, hold up, man. I don't hear them screaming. I don't hear them. Yes, I don't hear the torture sounds that my ear is craving for. I want to hear them screaming in pain. Look in there. Tell me what's going on. He said, look like, wait a minute. Didn't you put three in there? There's four in there. There's one in there glowing with light. Look like the Son of God. And wait a minute, what? And what did Nebuchadnezzar do? Get them out of there quick. First thing he did was apologize. Oh, I'm so sorry for doing this to y'all. When Yahweh's blessing is upon your life, when you are his,
yeah.
What do you say? When you walk, and I believe Isaiah came before Daniel, right?
Yes.
Isaiah came before Daniel. So this was even before this happened. This was even before that took place with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So anyway, for I am Yahweh Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And says my brother Coyne, this is the testimony of Yahweh Elohim. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in your place, since you have been precious and honored in my sight, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give people in your place and nations instead of your life. Watch what's going to happen to that imposter nation real soon. Oh, y'all want to be in our place? Okay. Y'all go ahead. Y'all keep on keeping on. Right? Ain't that a way to get from here to there to keep on keeping on? Y'all keep it. Keep it up. The whole while, he's protecting us. Like he told Eliyah, you know, don't worry about it, Eliyah, you ain't the only one. I got 7,000 prophets sitting on a hill that ain't never going to bow their knee to Baal, ain't never going to turn their back on me, huh?
Yeah.
So maybe in this time, we might be them. This is why nobody pays us no mind. This is why nobody pays us no attention. This is why nobody can give a care about the multitude of lessons that be coming out. So many lessons sometimes hard to keep up. Like, hold up, I know one just came out yesterday. How are we at 15? Why you got others out there with hundreds of thousands of followings and all this stuff, but they spewing out nothing but garbage. As we, you know, we talked about in our priest class this week, vomit. You know, they're not giving anybody anything that they can use. They're just gobbling up all this information. You're vomiting it out because you're not getting nourished. And if you're not getting nourished by this food, guess what? You can't nourish anyone. Ain't nobody going to sit up there and eat your junk that you done spewed out your body. Out there that Yahweh is saying, he's liking that. Just every doctrine that you're putting out there is filthy to him. But you're the poster. You're supposed to be the poster child of this faith. And you've got millions of followers. But where are you leading them? All the good that you think that you're doing by instilling discipline and this militaristic sort of mindset into them, what good is all of that if at the end of the day their souls ain't being fed? You're leading them on a path of destruction. When you can justify saying that, oh, it ain't just 50 days, it's 100 days. What? Yahweh said in his word, you count 7 Sabbaths and 1 extra day, period. He said, don't add or take away from the word. But you just did that. As much as you're proclaiming who you are, and then you got the audacity to want to roll up on somebody and try to correct them. When the word, the master said, before you go and try to take that beam out of somebody's eye, check it out, yo. Look in the mirror. You got a splinter. You know why you keep blinking? You keep squinting. You can't really see the word, right? Because you got a splinter in your eye that's preventing your eyesight from working properly. But you ain't recognizing. You just, oh, it ain't nothing. It's just something in my eye. I'm all right. No, you need to take that out. It's damaging you. But you're quick to recognize the wrong that somebody else is doing. You know how they used to say back in the hip-hop days, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Okay. Check yourself first. Check yourself first. 43:5 in Isaiah, he says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. Where we at, right? We in North America? Check this out. I will tell the north, give them up, and tell the south, don't hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yes, whom I have made to your mind for a second. He said, I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yes, whom I have made. Is he talking about you? Hallelujah. You, my sister? Hallelujah. How about you, my little sister? All right, hallelujah. Rabbi, he talking about you? Yeah. Hey, brothers and sisters on the line, he talking about you? Brother Ivy, he talking about you?
Amen.
All right. Sister Bithia, the house of Yah, is he talking about you? Guardian sister, he talking about you, right? Hallelujah. Right? And he says this, the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Think about at one point in our life, this word was obscure to us. I'm having a Bible study with somebody right now whose eyes were closed off to the word. But slowly but surely, Abba is opening up this person's eyes to see the truth and the light of that word. Think of how many times, even with us, we're going back to the Torah again. And again, as Yaakov said, oh, how glorious it's going to be now as we start to go back through the Torah, having been through this journey, how much more fulfilling and enlightening and enriching this journey, this second time around is going to be. Second time around. Huh? How beautiful this is going to be. Because now with all the insight and how much he's shown us, how much more are we going to be able to glean and discern now that our eyes have been opened even more, right? 43:9. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? He said, let all the nations be gathered together and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Y'all don't know me. He said, let them bring their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say that it's true. But who is he talking about? He's saying, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, with my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no mighty one formed, neither will there be after me, says I myself am Yahweh, and besides me, there is no savior. But hold up, when Rabbi Melech Yehoshua came on the scene, he's smiling because Abba gave you that revelation, bro. Hallelujah. Rabbi Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach comes on the scene. So that was Yahweh Elohim in a different form. Because Yehoshua HaMashiach is the one who came down in the flesh to save. I know it's hard for some people to understand that. But as we journey, because at one point we didn't understand it. At one point, Abba didn't open this up to us. And we had already been in the faith, some of us, decades. Decades. So this is why he says, if you continue in my word, if your word is a light unto my feet. a lamp unto my path. The longer you stay on that journey, the more you get enlightened. It's almost like you step here, the light gets a little bit brighter. You step here, brighter, 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 brighter. He says, 43:12, I have declared, I have saved, and I have shown, and there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh. I am Elohim. Yes, since the days was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who can hinder it? So he's calling from the north, calling from the east, calling from the west, calling from the south. These people can't stop it. Oh, yeah, you can shut some people down. Sure. Nick Cannon, you want the millions or do you want me? I'm going to send this man your way because he recognizes who you are, but do you recognize who you are? Kyrie Irving, do you recognize who you are? Because if you really did recognize Kanye West, if you really did recognize who you are, nobody could deter you. Nobody could shut you down. You would give up the millions in a heartbeat. Matter of fact, I think, Kanye, you said you was a billionaire, right? He gave you the opportunity to get something more valuable than billions, to be able to say, I'm a billionaire. He gave you something more valuable than that. He said, what good is that you gain all these riches, all these earthly things? You go anywhere you want on the planet Earth, buy anything you want on the planet Earth, but the one thing it cannot buy you is the key to the lock to the gates of the kingdom of heaven. That's not for sale. It's a free gift. But you've got to be willing to give things up in order to receive that gift. You've got to be willing to sacrifice everything in this life. Willing to sacrifice them nice shoes, them nice cars, that Olympic-sized pool, that mansion, all this stuff, them fancy cars. You got to be willing to give all that up. But this is proof positive what Yahushua said. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Why? It ain't easy giving up them riches. It ain't easy giving up that power. Ah, 14. Yeah. Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, says, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I will bring all of them down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, and the ships of their rejoicing. I am Yahweh, and I like that this is 43:15. I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. We're going to see that later on. Yahweh, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty water, says, who brings out the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched like a wick. Did you hear that? They are extinct. When something is extinct, and look at it. You know, we have some of the remnants of Egypt to this day, but for the most part, their language is extinct. The actual people who, because those aren't the original Egyptians. The original Egyptians are extinct. Because when you look at them hieroglyphics on the wall, you see a whole bunch of different colors on there. Dark, darker, light, and all in between. You don't see that over there? I mean, yes, some of them, they do exist over there. You do have, they try to keep the quote-unquote dark-looking Arabs in the back and not in the forefront. But for the most part, they're gone. Nobody knows if they're an original Egyptian blood lineage, but you know what we know? That's right, my sister. We are the lineage of the Israelites, the ancient Israelites. Why? By virtue of the fact that we are here in a strange land, in a captivity, with no identity. We don't know what tribe we're from. We don't know what clan we're from. We don't know whose lineage we're from. But we do know this. Because we accepted the blood of Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach, that blood courses through us. And we do know this because we fit the profile of what would happen to the Israelites because of their disobedience. Hey, guess what? somewhere along the way, we related to them. And in some ways, I'm sure, to one another. Hallelujah. He says, back to 43:17, who brings out the chariot and horse, the army and the mighty men. They lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched like a wick. He said, don't remember the former things and don't consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. It springs out now. Don't you know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Not like what they did in Dubai. But it's pretty funny that that's what happened. I mean, they had little rivers in their streets. 43:20. Animals of the field shall honor me. The jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people which I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. That's what he wants from us, y'all. He wants them hallelujahs in all situations. 43:22. Yet you have not called on me, Yaakov, but you have been wary of me, Israel. You have not brought me of your sheep for burnt offering, neither have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with frankincense. Think about that for a second. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. He's like, since y'all ain't going to do it, I'm going to do it for y'all. Think about that. You know what it's like? Remember back in the day, you had that smart friend, and you, me, being the not-so-smart friend, when it's time to take them tests, and you be like, hey, yo, hey, question number four, is it A, B, C, or D? And he said, I put down C. And he'd be like, yeah, okay, C. What you got for question two? Is it A, B, C, or D? I got D. And you put it down. And whereas you could have got an 80, now because of the two questions he gave you, you got you 100. But that's what Yahweh does for us. He's like, look, y'all ain't got to do it all by yourself. I just need you to have a willing heart, be a willing vessel. I will take the test for you. I will go through the situation for you. You ain't got to do it because I know you need help. Says, I even am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. But listen to this. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Now, we're going to take a little look at this verse, because this is one of the most, this is a very unique verse in scriptures. Okay? So when you look at it in the Hebrew, there are two words that are used in there only in this particular scripture. The word remembrance and the word for let's plead together, right? And if you have the opportunity to look at it in the Hebrew, take some time to look at it in the Hebrew. The word is hazkirini. Hazkirini, right? But let's take a look at this word when he says remembrance, exactly what he means. All right, so we're going to go to the Strong's family, and it's 21:42, right? And 21:42 is a primitive root, properly to mark as to be recognized. And what is a mark? What is another word for mark? As a matter of fact, those who are following, you know, the eclipse, what is the mark? Everybody was saying it was making a tav, right? So the mark is the sign, right? He says, properly a mark as to be recognized. What a sign. That is to remember by implication. Mention also as denominative from 21:45, to be male, to burn incense, earnestly to be male, to make mention of, be mindful, recount, record, recorder, remember, make to be remembered, bring, call, come, put to, in remembrance. Still, to think on, to think well of family. And then when he says, let us please, that's 8199, right? I found that to be interesting, right? The word is Shaphat. We should know Shaphat, that's Shaphut, right? A primitive root to judge. So he wants us to judge in remembering him, to weigh this. When he says to plead the cause, oh, let me finish reading. A primitive root to judge, that is pronounced, sentenced for or against, by implication, to vindicate or punish, by extension, to govern, passively, to litigate. When you talk about litigation, when do we go through any type of litigation? Say it again, Rabbi. In court. A court session. What happens in a court session in litigation? Judgment. You don't go to litigation because you want to walk out there with nothing. Your anticipation or your hope, whenever you go through litigation, is that if you are the defendant or if you are the plaintiff, that it is judged in your favor, right? Avenge, that condemn, contend, defend, execute, judgment, be a judge, needs, plead, reason, rule. So he wants us not just to keep it in remembrance, but he wants to have a discourse with us about all of this. Again, he says, put in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare. Well, let me go back to the other version. Go back to the WEB. He said, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Think about this. Abba wants this debate with us, not in the sense of just being contentious, but he wants this dialogue to take place with us. Remember what he says? Then those who talked on my name often one to another, you know what else they got in the courtroom? The stenographer who records every word that comes out of the judge, the plaintiff, and the defendant's mouth. So anytime we talk about him, his stenographer is going in his shorthand, writing down everything that we are saying about him and his word. And he says, declare your case that you might be justified. Says, your first father's sin, 327. He said, your first father's sin and your teachers have transgressed against me. You know what we just talked about the other night? Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary, and I will make Jacob a curse and Israel an insult. And when you think about it now, how often have you encountered? I just encountered somebody this week, and she asked, she said, what congregation go to? I said, I go to Beth Yahweh congregation. She said, oh, so what is that? I said, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. She said, oh. That was her response. She was like, oh. And she was like, so you like them that be out there in them suits yelling at people? I said, no, you're not like them. I said, nothing like that at all. I said, that is not our spirit. I said, I've been sitting here talking with you this whole time. I said, me and you've been chilling. We've been, the older lady. I said, me and you been chilling here talking the whole time. You know, did I come off like that? And she was like, no, you actually have a very different spirit. You have a very kind spirit. I said, well, they're giving us, by and large, a bad name by how they're approaching people. But I said, that's not the totality of all of us. I said, many of us who are Hebrew Israelites don't agree with that type of spirit. I said, God didn't call us to be out here condemning people. He called us out here to help lift people up. So when you think about it, Jacob a curse and Israel an insult. So all these people out there, oh, I'm Hebrew Israelite, oh, this is, and they got all this family. They're doing Abba Yah a terrible disservice. All right, we're going on to Luke, family. We're going to be finishing up. Luke 22. And there, Luke the 22nd chapter, okay? The plot to kill Yahushua. And I'm just going to read through it, family. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes thought how they might put him to death, for they feared the people. Do you hear that? Enter Judas, who was also called Iscariot, who was counted with the 12. He went away and talked with the chief priests and captains about how he might deliver him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money. He consented and sought an opportunity to deliver him to them in the absence of the multitude. The day of unleavened bread came, on which the Passover must be sacrificed. Yahushua sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat." So now, yes, he is our Passover, but guess what he also did? He also got that Passover lamb prepared for it, right? Okay. They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" He said, now, listen to this, y'all. They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" So you mean they ain't have a place of their own to go prepare it? You mean Yahushua and the 12 didn't have a building, an apartment, a house to do that? They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water." So you mean they had to look for something specific? They had to look for somebody specific, doing something specific? They said, "Follow him into the house which he enters." So they got to look first. You see a man with a pitcher? Peter, do you see a man with a pitcher? John, do you see a man with a pitcher? No, I'm looking. All right, cool. I'm looking too. There's a whole lot of people out there. Who's got a pitcher of water, right? All right. Now, once you see him, oh, I see him. You see him, Peter? Yeah. John, you see Peter? I see him. Follow him, right? Follow him into the house which he entered, right? Tell the master of the house, the teacher says to you, "Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large, furnished upper room. Make preparations there. Think about this for a second. Yahushua made these plans for them without them knowing it. He had the upper room already reserved for them before they even were told to look for it. Let's look at the word furnished for one second, y'all. Let's take a gander at that word furnished. He's already had, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not true, I wouldn't tell you." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Think about it. Would you rather a mansion down here or up there? See, think about all these people now who he's extended his hand to that said, "You know what? I like this 40-room mansion that I'm living in right now. I got a movie theater, basketball court, a tennis court, Olympic-sized swimming pool. I got more cars than I could drive in a month. I got more money than I could spend in a lifetime. As a matter of fact, I may die and leave this money to some foundation. It's going to be placed in some trust." But he already said, "I got a place for you if you are willing to sacrifice all that," right? So let's look at this word furnished. And the word is stronumi, stronumi, right? And check this out. To spread, huh? To spread. That means Yahushua had a spread laid out for him already. To furnish, to spread with couches or divans. Didn't he say, "I got couches laid up for you"? As a matter of fact, didn't he teach us in the word that after we pass on that we're going to go to a couch until he comes back, until he finishes his job? Come on now. To spread with couches. I don't know what divans is. Let me look at this word divans. All right. Let's look this up real quick. A long, low sofa without a back or arms, typically placed against a wall, right? Think about that. Go back. W-E-B. He said, "He will show you a large, furnished upper room. Make preparations there." They went, found things as Yahushua had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 disciples. He said to them, "I have earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will no longer by any means eat of it until it is fulfilled in Yah's kingdom. He received the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and share it amongst yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink at all again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom's, till Yah's kingdom comes. He took bread, matzah, leavened bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me. But remember now, what did we say? He's reading Isaiah about that remembrance. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. The Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man through whom he is betrayed. They began to question among themselves, which of them is it who would do this thing? Excuse me. There arose also a contention among them, which of them was considered to be the greatest. He said to them, the kings of the nations lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. But one who is the greater among you, let him become as the younger, and one who is governing as one who serves. For who is greater, one who sits at the table or one who serves? Isn't he who sits at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And listen to that for a second. Because remember at one point, after they heard, remember when he started to talk, remember when we read how after he talked to them about eating his body, it was difficult for many of them to understand that, so they left him. Y'all remember that? That once he talked about that my body must be eaten in order for you to receive salvation, for you to receive this gift, he said many of them couldn't deal with that. They were like, whoa, wait a minute. You're talking cannibalism now. Not discerning that he was talking about the unleavened bread that his body represents. So now when he says, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, only a few were left that were actually that dedicated to him to say, you know what, I'm going to stick it in with you. But guess what happened? Read 28 again. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. I conferred on you a kingdom, even as my Father conferred on me. Look at the reward they got for sticking it out with believing in him, even though at times the 12 didn't understand what he was saying. But they said, even though we don't understand, he said, what you think? I'm talking about the leaven? I'm not talking about leaven. I ain't talking about no yeast. I'm talking about their doctrine. So they didn't understand. But the one thing they didn't do is give up on the man. The one thing they didn't do is walk away from the man. They stuck it in with him. We don't understand. Sometimes he be talking crazy talk. Sometimes he don't make no sense. What is leaven? What is he talking about, the leaven of the Pharisees? This ain't making no sense. And you have to check them and say, y'all think I'm talking about some yeast? Come on, I'm talking about their doctrine. Oh, their doctrine. We got it now. It's infecting people, causing people to get puffed up. So now as a reward for that, I confer. Hold on, let me just make sure I understand what the term confer is. Grant, bestow a title. Now, when you think about a title, what is a title? Not just a title like Mr. So-and-so. You ever bought a house? That title is that piece of paperwork that transfers the ownership of the property from the former owner to the new owner. And that's when you get to sign the deed. A title says a degree, benefit, right. To bestow on. He says, I confer on you a kingdom, even as my Father conferred on me, that you might eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, You will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember when we read in Revelation, you have 24 men up there in the heavenly council, 12 representing the 12 tribes of Israel. The other 12 are the apostles. But now the apostles are going to look at the 12 tribes and say, hey, look, this is where y'all went wrong. These are the errors that y'all made. 22:31. The master says, Shimon, Shimon, behold, Satan asked to have all of you that he might sift you as wheat. Now he's giving Simon, that's Peter, a heads up. Because guess what? See, in between time, in the meantime, he's still doing his spiritual work. And guess what? The same thing that happened to Job is happening to Peter. I bet you I can get Peter to go astray. Let's check it out. The master says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have all of you that he might sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. You, when once you have turned again, establish your brother. He said to him, Master, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. He said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will by no means crow today until you deny that you know me three times. He said to them, when I sent you out without purse and wallet and shoes, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now whoever has a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. Whoever has none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. What'd he say? He said, I ain't come to bring peace. I'm a swordsman. I'm an arms dealer. That's what Yahushua said. He said, I ain't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. So guess what? He's telling his disciples, buy a sword. Arm yourself. Get that weapon. He ain't talking about no spiritual sword. He's talking about a straight-up physical sword. 22:37, for I tell you that which is written must still be fulfilled in me. He was counted with transgressors, for that which concerns me has an end. They said, Master, behold, here are two swords. He said to them, that is enough. He ain't telling them don't get no sword. He ain't telling them don't get no weapon. He told them, all right, you got two? Good. That's all right. 22:39, he came out and went, as his custom was, to the Mount of Olives. His disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said to them, pray that you don't enter into temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Think about that for a second, because I think sometimes that often gets overlooked. Yahushua in the flesh needed divine intervention. He needed divine intervention. The angel, you want to know what the angel said to him? My brother read it before. We've read it before. Let's go to the book of Joshua. All right? Here's what the angel said to him. Joshua 1:6, right? He said, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land which I swore to your fathers. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the left, to the right hand, or to the left hand, that you may have good access wherever you go. Why did that angel say that to Yahushua? Because at this point, he's going to be that conqueror. At this point, he's going to go to war. This is at this stage or at that stage, the final battle. I'm coming down. I'm going to give up my life. Once I give up my life, I am now going to destroy the adversary. I am now going to, because now, remember the promise he made before that? Y'all going to have access to the kingdom. Y'all going to be with me in the kingdom. How are we going to have the kingdom when we ain't going to go to war? We got to go to war before the kingdom come here, don't it? So when the angels encourage us, that's what they're telling them. Be strong and of good courage. You can do this. This is what you were made for. This is what you came to. Don't forget that. lost my place. Okay. All right. 22:43. An angel from heaven appeared to him. Remember, there's an angel that came to Yahushua Ben Nun that was the captain of the host. So a strong angel came down and said to him, be strong and good courage. Come on now. This is what you came to do. Your word said it's etched in stone. You can't falter now. I know that flesh is beating you down. I know you're in a weakened state. I know you're not in the glory that you have. But remember, once you do this, you fulfilled your task, right? Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he rose up from his prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. While he was still speaking, behold, a multitude who he called Yehuda, one of the 12, was leading them. He came near to Yahushua to kiss him, but Yahushua said to him, Yehuda, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Yo, just shake my hand. Just point me out. You know, that kiss back then, that was a sign of affection. Not in the sense of sexuality, but in the sense of brotherly love. You know how people do? Not no intimate kiss, but that was supposed to be a sign of, golly gee, that's a way to take somebody down. When those who were around him saw what was about to happen, they said to him, Master, shall we strike with the sword? So they had their swords. They was ready. They had got the blick. You ready? He had some G's with him. See, they wasn't no punk. He didn't have no sissy soft men around him. The first question they asked when they see them coming, yo, we got, and Judah ain't coming by himself. Now he's coming with some serious dudes, temple guards, you know, some real hardcore warriors. And he said, man, they ain't back down. They said, Lord, should we strike them with the sword? A certain one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now we know who that is, right? From the other books, right? So think of how nice my man was with the sword, right? I can't seem to hit the bullseye, and I've been practicing for weeks. Now I might catch one or two. My man went with me and was like, man, you anticipate me shot. You keep pulling to the right. You keep going low and down. Your grouping is good. But you got to get more comfortable with it in your hand, man. But Peter was so nice, because we know it's Peter. Peter was so nice with it. He cut my man's ear off. Think about that. But now, think about it spiritually, what that means, that sword being the word, right? We don't want to take that sword and cut the ability for that word and cut the ability of people to hear what the word is saying to them. Okay. Yeah, 22:50. A certain one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Yahushua answers, let me at least do this. And he touched his ear and he healed him. Yahushua said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, elders who had come against him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you in the temple daily, you didn't stretch out your hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. They seized him and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed from a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl saw him as he sat in the light and looking intently at him said, this man also was with him. He denied Yahushua, saying, woman, I don't know him. After a little while, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter answered, man, I am not. Can you hear Peter being a hood dude? Huh? Man, I ain't one of them. After about 1 hour passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, truly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Now, if you know anything about Galilee and what they talked about Galilee and Nazareth, they were kind of the hoods of the Holy Land. They weren't the best places, public housing type areas or whatever, you know. So it's like they know these people. They know they kind of hardcore. They got a little rough edge to them. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you were talking about. Listen to that. Man, I don't know what you're talking about. Immediately, while he was still speaking, rooster crowed. The master turned and looked at Peter. And I like the details because the other ones don't give these details because Yahushua and him are still in proximity of one another, right? And he said, the master turned and looked at Peter. Ooh. Then Peter remembered the master's words, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Could you imagine what went through his soul when he saw Yahushua's eyes fixed on him? The men who held Yahushua mocked him and beat him. Having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face. You know what they're doing to him? You know what the spirits are doing to him? What did we learn about what happened to Azazel? In the book of Enoch, it said, bind him hand and foot, covering around his eyes so he can never again see the light of day. And then hurl him in the pit called, I think, Deduel, and throw hurled stones on him. See, everything, see, we talk about that one scapegoat and that one sacrifice, right? All right? The one being called as Azazel was led out into the wilderness. But when we see what was done to Azazel, see, now they trying to get back. They want to get back for what he did to their brother, the fallen angel's brother. They want to get back. So now they're doing to him what he sent Raphael, I believe it was Raphael, to do to Azazel. He said, bind him hand and foot, lift him up. So, yeah, we're going to get our get back. See, when you're in the most weakened state that you can be in, when you're not in your glory, when we find out who you is and we get our hands on you, watch what we do to you. Have blindfolded him. They struck him on the face and asked him, prophesy, who was the one who struck you? They spoke many other things against him, insulting him. As soon as it was day, the assembly of the elders of the people were gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away into their council, saying, if you are the Mashiach, see, them spirits still didn't know. If you are the Mashiach, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you won't believe me. Isn't that true? Right. And if I ask you, 2268, and if I ask you, you will no way answer me or let me go. So he's like, what's the point? He's like, I'm doing this. Anyway, from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of Yah. They all said, are you then the Son of Yah? He said to them, you say it because I am. They said, why do we need any more witness? For we ourselves have heard from his own mouth. Right? Now 23, last chapter. The whole company of them rose up and brought him before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, we found this man perverting the nation, forbidding paying taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king. Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He answered them, so you say. Pilate said to the chief priests and the multitudes, I find no basis for a charge against him. They're like, I ain't worried about him being king of the Jews. They don't go better than me. Y'all are my servants. Pilate said to the chief priests and the Moses, I find no basis for a charge against this man. It's not Pilate's concern. But they insisted, saying, throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, even to this place, like, yo, he raising up them Galileans. You know how rough they are. They are riotous people. You know, all it takes is one situation for them to pop off, right? 23:6. But when Pilate heard Galilee mentioned, he asked the priest, like, Galilee, hold up. That's the worst part of my province. Said he asked him, if the man was a Galilean, when he found out that he was in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem those days. Now, when Herod saw Yahushua, he was exceedingly glad, for he had wanted to see him for a long time because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle done by him. He questioned him with many words, but he gave no answers. The chief priests and the scribes stood vehemently accusing him. Herod, with his soldiers, humiliated him and mocked him, dressing him in luxurious clothing. They sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. Think about that for a second. The torture and beating of Yahushua made these two friends. For before that, they were enemies with each other. Think about this, y'all. Why do the heathens rage? And why do they imagine a vain thing? They conspire against the Most High. It says they are confederate. Look at what happened to Herod and Pilate to conspire against the Most High. They became friends in the beating and torture of Yahushua. Herod, being an imposter, fake implant Jew, was he not? Pilate, being a Roman, a person of the world, with an imposter Jew, coming up against the Most High. Made a friend. Let that marinate for a second, fam. What is the world going to do? Remember, he said, if they hate you, remember, they hated me first. So when they start hating you and start ganging up on you and becoming friends, even though they should be mortal enemies, this is going to bring them together. The enemy of my enemy. Wait, what's it saying? The enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. There it is right there. 22:13, Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "Ye brought this man to me as one that perverts the people, and behold, having examined him before you, I find no basis for a charge against this man concerning those things of which you're accusing." Now, remember what he said to them earlier in Isaiah, judge, let's litigate. So what's going on here? Litigation is going on here about Yahushua with the Jewish people, with the Hebrews of that day. And he said to them, "You brought this man to me as one that perverts the people, and behold, having examined him before you, I find no basis for a charge against this man concerning those things which you accuse him, neither his heritage. For I sent you to him, and see, nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise and release him." Now he had to release one prisoner to them at the feast. But they all cried out together, saying, "Away with this man, release to us Barabbas," one who was thrown into prison for a certain revolt in the city and for murder. Then Pilate spoke to them again, wanting to release Yahushua. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." He said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has this man done? I have found no capital crime in him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." But they were urgent with loud voices, asking that he might be crucified. Their voices and the voices of the chief priests prevailed. Creed that what they asked for should be done. He released him who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. The very same thing they're accusing Yahushua. You seeing that? Sister Biffy, you seeing it, right? The same thing. Insurrection is causing what? A public riot, raising the people up. The same thing they're trying to accuse him, which Yahushua didn't do. Right. They asking for this man to be released.
Right.
He released him who had been thrown into prison for insurrection, for murder. Whereas what did Yahushua do? Nothing but bring life. Lazarus, come forth. Peter, put your sword away. He healed. Blind man, have sight. Lame man, get up and walk. Deaf man, you can hear voices now. All that man did was good to people, but they asked for a rioter and a murderer to be released from. And we wonder why our people are in the condition we're in today. We ask for a murder to be released. We ask for somebody who likes to burn down things and get people all riled up. So this is why constantly in our community we're getting riled up about something. I was watching Kings of Comedy the other day, and even our music has gotten to the point. He said, "Why I want to be at some hip-hop concert, but all I hear is somebody, a bunch of guys on stage yelling. What happened to us crooning and singing and having nice songs at a concert? Look at a hip-hop concert. Pure chaos. Pure chaos." That's chaos, even though, you know, I've gone to a few hip-hop concerts and guess I enjoy it myself. But and now our music is, or at least the music they're publishing, is primarily about murder and destruction. When you think about it, all the ones that these kids look up to and admire, all they talk about is death and destruction or lasciviousness. Luke 23:6. When they led him away, they grabbed one, Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, and laid on him the stake to carry it after Yahushua. A great multitude of people followed him, including women who also mourned and lamented him. But Yahushua turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the womb that never bore, and the breast that never nursed.'" Think about the state that we're in, y'all. I would love to have a whole lot of grandkids. I would love to see Kaya, Sarah, have children. But at the same time, if they give birth and have children, what are they going to be raised in? I was talking to my son last night. We had a wonderful conversation. Even my son had to admit, we are lost. He said, "I don't know what it's going to be like for my niece growing up. What's going to, I mean, he was really sad about that. He was like, "Daddy, I don't know what the world is going to be like for Charlie." He said, "Let alone when my other sisters start having kids, what is this world going to be like for them?" Because he said, right now, he's running everything down. What it's like in school on a day-to-day basis. What it's like to be out there on a day-to-day basis. And I didn't realize my son was paying attention and was so conscientious about what he sees going on. He's like, the kids in school don't treat the teachers with respect. They're constantly fighting. I mean, they had the video that went viral. The boy went up to the teacher, the woman who was trying to educate you, trying to bring your mind to him. And I know some teachers can be a, you know what? He smacks the teacher and taunts her. Smacks her again and taunts her. Calls her a name. Look at what just happened up the street. The one teacher's like, "I'm done. I can't do this anymore." He says it's one thing to deal with unruly students, but now it's another to be in fear of my life for the career path that I've chosen. He said, "All I want to do is educate children. Just want to see them thrive and get to them." Back to 23:29. "For behold, the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the womb that never bore, and breast that never nursed.' Then they will begin to tell the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and tell the hills, 'If they do these things in the green tree, what will be done in the dry?'" There were also others, two criminals led with him to be put to death. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified him there with the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Yahushua said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Dividing his garments among them, they cast lots. The people stood watching. The rulers with them also scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Mashiach of Yah, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." An inscription, and remember what we just read in Isaiah, right? He said, "I'm your king." An inscription also was written over him in letters in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged insulted him, saying, "If you are the Mashiach, save yourself." And who does that criminal represent? One of the criminals was hanged with him insulted him, saying, "If you are the Mashiach, save yourself." But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, "Don't you even fear Elohim, seeing you are under the same condemnation?" That's Abel, the one who recognized and gave the right sacrifice, and the other one who gave a sacrifice of an insulting sacrifice to him. Instead of looking at him towards his salvation, he scorned him. One of the criminals who was hanging in the sultan saying, "If you are the Mashiach, save yourself and us." But the other answered, and yes, they all represent two types of people in the world as well. So did Cain and Abel. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, "Don't you even fear Yah, seeing you are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we see the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. So they followed him. He followed him while he was in prison. Didn't John the Baptist get worried about Yahushua when they came to visit him? He said, what's going on out there? What's he doing? As a matter of fact, that was in chapter 7 of the book of Luke. Yahushua said to them, assuredly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. 44. It was now the sixth hour, and the darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Yahushua crying with a loud voice. Can I ask the question? Why isn't this part when the prophet Joel talks about the sun being darkened and the moon turned to, why isn't this sufficient enough to fulfill that prophecy? Just a question I had. Because we have a testament right here. Why is that not sufficient enough when this happened during Yahushua's death to fulfill that prophecy? The sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Yahushua crying with a loud voice said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what was done, he glorified Yah, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. All the multitudes that came together to see this, when they saw that the things that were done, returned home, beating their breasts. All the acquaintances, when do we beat our breasts traditionally? During Yom Kippur, right? Okay. Why are they beating their chest now? All his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. 23:50. Behold, a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man. He had not consented to their counsel and deed. Now remember, this book is being written by Luke, who Luke, not having witnessed all these things, went and did investigative reporting, and he's putting this together for the Godlovers, right? Okay. So he's putting all this information and content in there because, of course, Yahweh's leading him because people are going to have questions. People are going to say all these things. Well, hold up. How could Joseph from Arimathea do this? But he's letting them know, I did the investigation. He was not one of them that consented to have him killed when I interviewed him, right? From Arimathea, city of the Jews, who was also waiting for Yah's kingdom. This man went to Pilate and asked for Yahushua's body. He took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that was cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. It was a day of preparation, and the Shabbat was drawing near. The women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after him and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. And that is all I have for today. Hopefully by Abba's Spirit next week, we will talk about the next part in this journey. Yeah. All right? Anybody have any questions or comments? Are we going to talk about the ascension? Yes, sir, Rabbi. Okay.
About beating their breasts.
Yes.
You know what people do when they make stories about something?
Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Like be victorious.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Torah, Rabbah. Any other comments, any questions? If not, your brother Harbel is going to close out.
Hallelujah.
Praise, glory, and honor be to Abba Yah. Koku. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, a trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Would you mind closing us out? Pray, sir.
Hallelujah. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you, giving praise to your holy name, for you are worthy to
to be praised by the whole of your creation, Abba. Abba, we thank you for the manifold blessings that you bestow upon your people each and every day, Abba. Hallelujah. Abba, we thank you for your loving kindness that you show to us by providing for each and every one of us day to day all that we need to survive spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally, Abba. We are not worthy to be in this earth, but because you love us, Abba, you continue showing forth your compassion and putting aside the evils that we commit against you from day to day. I will thank you, and please forgive us for taking that for granted. I will thank you for sending your son as we approach the time, the remembrance of him laying down his life for us all, Abba. We thank you for Yahushua, because without him and without the work that he accomplished, none of this would be possible, Abba. Once again, something we take for granted. Abba, we thank you for this time that you've blessed us with here and now to come together and fellowship in the place that you have provided, giving us once again the time to uplift our hearts and our minds and our voices in praise, glory, and honor to you, Abba, for you are worthy to be praised by all that have breath. Abba, we pray on behalf of those of us who are still suffering. Uplift our hearts, our minds, that we get above and beyond the problems and the situations in our lives that hinder us from being all you desire us to be. We pray, Abba, that you continue to bless your Mure, Brother Yara'al, Brother Ahab'al, as they have brought forth the word that you have laid upon their hearts. May you continue engraving them within each and every one of our minds, that we are all transformed by the renewing power of your Spirit. Abba, as we continue throughout the course of your holy Sabbath day, lead us and guide us by your Spirit, that we come to learn your word according to your divine will, not going astray to the right or to the left, but remaining steadfast as we follow after your son, Melech Yahushua HaMashiach, through whom we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So wonderful, my Yah, you are. So wonderful, Almighty Yah. So wonderful, my Yah, you are. So wonderful, holy, holy, holy. Devils.
so mad we don't need. Cause greater is he that's in me. Messiah, the light of the world. We was all blind, we could see. We do not get what we deserve. I know he died for me.